BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Five Lives Rugby Union Weekly.
We're ready to go again. You might think one Six Nations is finished, it's time to put your feet up. Oh no. The hardcore amongst the rugby faithful, it is only the halfway point. The start of the Women's Six Nations is upon us. Saturday, the 23rd of March, we go again. I'm Sarah Orchard. Alongside me, Philippa Tuttiot. Have you got the energy? Have you got the drive? It's our fifth anniversary of this. We can go again.
Yeah, no, so excited. And yeah, we were just reminiscing, weren't we? The fifth anniversary of the Women's Six Nations launch that we've done together. That first one back in 2019 was the last time the men and women were together. And since then, they've broken off. And every single time this launch gets bigger, gets better. And I haven't even looked. There are some rooms I haven't even managed to go into yet. I am buzzing. This looks absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to talk to the players.
Yeah, Phil and I, we are somewhere in a very fancy part of London. We're in a big room, a very tour room. There's no ball pit this year, which I think retrospectively is good, because I think I might have embarrassed myself last year in the ball pit. So time to move on. But in case people can't remember, of course, Philippa Tuttiot, former Wales captain. How excited are your levels for this Women's Six Nations? And I mean that with the greatest respect. It's still a two-horse race, we feel, between England and France. But there is a little bit of a nugget for all the other nations to hold on to in the Six Nations, and that is World Cup qualification 2025. Whoever is the next highest ranked team in this tournament is going to be guaranteed a place at that tournament next year, and that's huge.
That is absolutely huge. And yeah, you talk about it being a two-horse race, but let's not forget France in this WXV. Yes, they took some new players, but they didn't look, you know, the solid France that we saw in the World Cup or indeed the Six Nations prior. So I think a lot of these teams are going to be looking at them and seeing actually that could be the challenge. We've talked previously, it's all about the third place, isn't it? Between Wales, Ireland, Italy, best of the rest. But actually, I think they could be putting France into that bracket as well.
It's going to be absolutely huge. All the captains are here. Should we do it, Phil?
Let's go.
Right, our first guest is on her way. Well, here we are with the England captain, Marley Packer. I was going to play plumber versus builder because I've got Philippa Tuttiot here, who is a builder. You are a former plumber.
Yep.
And you've already told me that plumber wins every time?
Yep, every time.
Whatever. Whatever. And yet the plumber has to then come to the builder for advice?
On a patio, apparently.
Yeah. I actually went to Google.
but Philippa came up?
Yes, she did come up.
That's amazing.
It was how to lay a patio, which I actually watched the 15-minute video you did.
I see.
Thank you very much.
It's a good one. There you go. All the top tips are there.
I was on the Watt bike at the time, so I didn't get my nights down, but I might watch it again.
Well, the reason that I was going to play that was because I was obviously looking back in your career, because let's face it, Marley, as much as we're talking about Six Nations today, big game round one.
Yep.
Assuming you get the nod, I'm sure you will as a captain. 100 caps. How does it feel?
Yeah, pretty amazing, to be honest. I try not to think about it too much. I just want to kick off the Six Nations in it be another game.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, but the fact that actually it is this big milestone of 100 caps is pretty special. For me, I just want to go out there and perform like I do for the Red Roses and leave the shirt in the best possible place that I can do. And now being captain, it's not just about my own performance, but it's making sure that everything's in the right place for the match with the squad, that, you know, if we've got new caps, we've got players coming back from injury, making sure that they're in the best possible headspace, they're ready to perform, to make sure that, you know, the night before, that I know a lot of things will probably come back around to my 100 cap, but it's about the kickoff of the Six Nations and it's about us performing in that first game.
Just on that, can I just take you back? Because right now, as you sit in front of us, World Player of the Year, most tries at the moment in the PWR, about to become the seventh English woman to win 100 caps. Take us back to 2008, May, against Sweden. What do you remember about your debut?
Amsterdam Sevens was going on in the background, and I think we were on the side pitch, with Portaloos just to the right of us. My first cap, I can remember being sat in a room. Gary Street was the head coach at the time with Graham Smith, and way back before WhatsApp and we all had smartphones, there was a flip chart and we sat there and he flips open this is the team to start against Sweden, the first game of the Europeans, and there was my name at seven, and I was like, oh, you know when you just like sink into your chair. It was like a little bit loud. I could see Maggie like a couple seats down, maybe one in front, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? That's a mistake, surely. yeah, so that's my first cap moment. And we got there, and I think it was a two-week tournament, and the England squad was very different back then. I was actually talking about it on the way in the car. It wasn't such an environment that was welcoming and a nice open place it is today. And actually, I was a young whippersnapper. I think I'd just turned 18, knew nobody, and I probably didn't really enjoy the whole experience. I played 40 minutes, and then I got took off at halftime, and I didn't play the rest of that tournament, and it was tough. I came back from the tournament, and with that, I just started my plumbing course. I was still playing at under-20s. I was captain at under-20s at the time, and I kind of said to Streety, I think I just need to stay at 20s, concentrate on plumbing, and then like we'll go again after that. And I think, you know, the time then between my first and my second cap, I truly became the Marley Packer you see today. I've evolved a little bit since then, but actually the desire to play for my country and always put my best performance out for it. And, you know, I learned a lot in that 3 years and 3 months. I didn't get selected after then. When I said I wasn't ready. I didn't say I wasn't ready for 3 years. I meant probably that season. So, yeah. So, you know, I think that gave me more drive, more desire to how much and how special it is to wear this shirt for my country, like yourself, for where I was, like, there's so much passion and work you put into doing it, and if it isn't right at that time, then you know you need to make sure that it is right. And then now I am however many years later with 99 caps going on to 100.
You know what, I was gonna ask you, like, if you could go back in time and speak to your younger self, what would you say? But I'm guessing it's pretty much just what you just said then.
Yeah, and I think just for me is probably like not overthink everything so much. Yeah. And you know, not, I probably negative talk to myself quite a lot. I think these days we talk a lot more in camps about mindset and how to be, to impose yourself and not talk to yourself in a negative way, or even the fact of, you know, prehab before rehab, doing a bit more of prehab stuff. Like I can imagine, like, a lot of players you talk to that are of the older generation say they wish they did more of that kind of stuff. Like, but when you're young, you don't really think about that. You just want to, you know, get off the bus and play and then get back on and get homes kind of thing, because you had work on Monday or you had to do something like that. But now it's, you've got the time to put in those extra hours to be able to then put yourself in the best possible performance on the weekend.
How important is it for England that this is another back-to-back Grand Slam year?
I think for us, it's not the importance of it being a back-to-back Grand Slam year. We don't talk like that. We're on a journey. 2025 is just around the corner. We talk a little bit about Everest, and you know, you don't climb Everest the first time you attempt it. You've got to go up to come down to then go back up, and you know, that's the journey of a full-time professional, in the fact of, you know, you have ups and downs. You have selections where it might not go your way, so then you're back down. You might pick up an injury, but it's about picking yourself, getting back up, and even if it's just one step higher, you've got one step higher. And I generally believe this Six Nations is the first, with Mitch as our head coach. We've got Deeks, we've got Sunser and Lou Meadows, and I think, you know, the caliber of coaches, the way they're working with players is so different than what we've had before. And you've definitely seen a different style of way we want to play in WXV. It's evolved again, and actually we probably, you know, a few links there wasn't quite clicking because it was new, and obviously Mitch hadn't been in with us. So now we've had a lot of time with Mitch in with us, we're developing how we want to play, and it's really exciting. We've got new faces in camp, and yeah, it's an exciting time for us.
Now Marley, you're going to get dragged away because we're going to get in trouble for speaking to you, but
oh, you're right, I'm enjoying it, it's fine.
Yeah.
We're right,
it's alright, Robin, we just chill, we've just got one more thing to do with you.
Marley's pulling rank,
I love it. Be quick. Yeah, it's going to be quick.
I pulled rank in the trophy.
I love it.
Well.
Here we go.
So in WXV, we had to like get on people's shoulders. We said we weren't doing anything like that today.
Okay, good for you. Now listen, these are the most important interview questions by Microsoft, Google, Uber when they do interviews. So to be a professional rugby player, you've never done an interview in your life, it starts today.
Okay.
Philippa, go.
Didn't want you to miss out, see? So your first question is, what animal best represents you?
Oh, I'm going to say younger self, a hyena. because like steal the ball like after anything I could get on the pitch. And when you really hear me laugh, like my real laugh, it is like a hyena. And then I'd say like a bit more older, I'm going to go spring a spaniel. I still want to run around after everything when there's a ball in front of me. If there's not really a ball in front of me, I'm probably not running around so much. And then I like my quiet time in my bed, sleeping, like, yeah, softer side with Oliver. Like, he wants to play with me, like that kind of thing. So I go springer and a hyena.
I have to say, she's already got the job, I think, but I'll keep going. Okay, if you found a lottery ticket, what would you do with the money? You won the lottery, sorry.
Oh, I won the lottery. Well, it depends on how much. If it's a tenner, I'll keep it. If it was a couple mil.
10 million.
Yeah. 10 mil. Go. Oh, well, I'd give some money to my family, obviously. My mum, I'd probably give most of it to. And then I think, you know, I'd want to set up some kind of business. I want to get into house property developing. So I'd set up a business that then I'd be able to live happily with it. But then also I can pass it down to children. So then, you know, I want them to still work. So they need to know the value of money.
This is why you need to lay a patio, I can see.
Yes, yeah. That I'm looking at Google to lay this patio, Yeah. So okay. If anybody want to lay my patio for me, just hook me up, yeah?
Okay. All right, next one. If you were a dessert, what would you be?
I would be 2 scoops of chocolate ice cream and 1 vanilla with a little bit of squirty cream, but that's naughty. But that's my own dessert, sorry.
Are you a hunter or a gatherer?
I'm a hunter.
Of course she is.
Of course she is. It's going to be any other answer.
Of course she is.
Okay, when was the last time you failed?
I don't fail because I don't see failure as a thing. I think it's you learn from whatever it is and you go to do better again.
Well, I hope you don't fail at laying a patio, but if you do, give me a call.
Give you a call, okay. Thank you.
Marley Packer, thank you so much. No, good luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. 5 Lives Rugby Union
Weekly. Rachel Malcolm, Scotland captain, here to talk about the Six Nations. So obviously I'm going to start with the Netflix series or Sky series Below Deck. Just to pick up on a theme from last year, because I watched series one of Below Deck.
Did you love it?
Do you know what? I was a bit ill, so I binged a whole series in a week. But you know when it like flicks over to series two and I just went, they just got a bigger boat.
They did.
I'd say this is enough.
Watched like 20 odd series of it.
20 series?
Like there's different ones. So there's like the normal Below Deck. Then there's one like Down Under, Mediterranean.
Oh my goodness.
Right, okay. It's iconic.
Well, thank you for the recommendation. And if anyone needs to lose themselves, I'd recommend it.
Yep.
But I've only done series one, apologies. Right, so that's finished off business from last year. Six Nations, World Cup qualification up for grabs. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, excited. Really excited. I think for us, like, last Six Nations was kind of a bit of a development one. We had loads of young players coming through, loads of experienced players out injured, but they're all back, and our young players are flying, and yeah, it's kind of exciting. Squad's in, like, a really cool place. It's a really nice place to be at the minute. I'm sure we'll be hit by many a hurdle, but it's quite a good group to chase it with. So, yeah, no, really excited.
And you're coming into this off the back of quite a winning streak. First time in a long time. 6 games? Amazing.
Yeah, slightly different position to this time last year.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad to now not be talking about. But yeah, like bit of a winning streak, I guess you could say. And I think that kind of the way losing became a habit for us, winning can also become a habit as well. And I definitely believe that. And I think, you know, we want to keep pushing on. We kind of know what our downfalls were maybe in that period of time, and I think we've now learned a lot of pretty tough lessons in terms of managing the game better and making better decisions under pressure and stuff like that. So yeah, it's exciting. I don't want to talk too much about like the outcome, because I just think for us we've got the opportunity to go out and put in 5 pretty good performances with the squad that we've got, and yeah, that what will happen will happen.
And just on that, you come into this as WXV2 champions, which is where a lot of this winning momentum has come from, so huge congratulations to that. But did you then look at this Six Nations fixture list and go, oh god, just give us a break? England and France at home, and then you go away to everyone else who are your main contenders for World Cup qualification?
Yeah, a little bit, but we actually are all right away from home, and playing England and France at home is actually quite cool, because we're going to have record crowds and it's going to be a completely different vibe to usual. And I think, you know, we see ourselves as contenders to compete with all teams in this competition. So whether you're at home or you're away, it's kind of irrelevant. I love playing at Cardiff. Some of my favourite memories are there, and, you know, some of our toughest battles have been there. So, yeah, I think that'll be a very tough fixture to start. We're obviously pretty close in terms of previous matchups, and I know one of you two will probably be vouching for the other team, but
that's not me. But
you know, it's always an absolute battle. But it is, you know, we go Wales, France, England. It's tough in terms of, like, last year we started with three losses, and that's definitely not how we want to start out this campaign. But if we focus on that outcome too much, then we will probably end up be on the back of three losses. So we've got to focus on performance, got to focus on us and building on what we've built in the last couple of years, and particularly at WXV.
Would you say this is one of the most competitive teams you've been involved in, like internally, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I think WXV, we probably saw that to some extent. I think, you know, we had our strongest squad available at that tournament, and it was probably the strongest Scotland squad I've been a part of. But we unfortunately had a couple of injuries while we were out there. Like Sarah Bonner was unavailable for the first two matches and stuff like that. And I think now we've got all of those players back that I mentioned missed last Six Nations. We've got a couple of young girls who've come through from the Celtic Challenge who are outstanding and really exciting raw talents. And people like Evie Gallagher, who is just phenomenal every week for Bristol and the PWR. Meryl Smith, again at Bristol, has been outstanding. And she's not someone who's necessarily had loads of game time for Scotland yet. But I'm excited to see how she goes this Six Nations. So, yeah, we kind of come from all different places at the minute. But everyone is putting their hands up for selection. It's a really competitive environment at training. But we're all kind of pushing for the same thing. So for Scotland to be in the best possible position to go and compete next weekend.
As captain, you're probably part of a leadership group of a lot of elder stateswomen who possibly for the first time assigned to look over their shoulder a little bit more. How does that feel?
Yeah, I absolutely am. I've got a number of very young mobile back rows behind me at the minute. No, I'm just kidding. It's brilliant. It's what we all need. You know, we are not going to compete at this level with 15 or even a 23. We need depth across every position, and that's what we've been pushing for a long time now, and I finally feel like we are starting to get that from 1 to 15. So it also gives the likes of Brian, and I'm not a coach so I don't know much about this, but the opportunity to also look at how we want to play against different teams. You know, traditionally we've played quite a similar team, I guess, across the championship, whereas now, you know, the likes of Italy versus the likes of England play very different styles of rugby, and with the depth and the different in kind of strengths across those positions, we can also look to accommodate that, which is pretty cool. Not a position we've necessarily always been in.
And this is a tough question, so I'll give you a moment to answer. Something that this Six Nations is crying out for with the women is a bit more competition, a bit more jeopardy. How many years do you think Scotland are away from competing with the likes of England and France at the top table?
Yeah, it's a tough question. The issue is they're also still getting better. So although we are also improving and becoming more professional and getting more opportunities on the international stage, so are they. And, you know, they'll be trying to make that gap stay as big as it is, and also probably increase it to some extent, whereas we're all chasing it. So it's kind of, I guess, hard to answer in that respect. I don't think we're far away for competing for portions of a match. I think we showed that last year, particularly our first half against France. You know, we went in at half time in the game, but we fell away in that second half, and I think that's the difference. If I was to put a number on it, I think we are probably, I think we will achieve it within my career span is what I'm going to answer it with.
Nice.
Fantastic. I love that. Right.
As in to be competitive. Mm. But as I say, it is tough.
Now, Rachel Malcolm, before we let you go, we are starting a process today. It's called Interviews to Become a Professional Rugby Player. The reason being is that everyone here now is a professional rugby player, but none of you have actually had to do an interview for the job. So Philippa Tuttiet has been away. Mm-hmm. She has found all the big questions that the likes of Google, Microsoft, Uber all use to select their employees. Are you ready for your questions?
I think so.
Here we go.
I haven't done an interview in a very long time, but yeah.
Well, that's the point. See, we didn't want you guys missing out, because everybody loves an interview. Yep. All right. What one animal best represents you as a person?
I'm going to say, not to give away my age, but I am one of the older players in our squad. I do probably tend to fill the mother figure and give out a fair bit of advice. So I'm going to say an owl, because they are wise.
Oh. Very nice. Okay.
Can you turn your head all the way around as well?
I've become one a little bit, yeah.
That's below deck, that is. That You've got to get off it. Yeah. All right, mate. Okay, if you found out you won the lottery, we're talking millions and millions
Ten million.
What would you do with the money?
Ooh, invest it into Scotland women's rugby.
Okay, after that.
Whatever. And the rest.
I would... probably like book a really cool holiday with
below deck.
I reckon like book like a ridiculous like villa, take all my friends and all my family. That's really uncharitable though, isn't it?
All right, you've already sorted out Scotland Women's Rugby.
That's my first million. The first million's going to go on a holiday to take all my friends, all my family to one place for a week.
Amazing.
And then, yeah, invest some money into some causes that I'm passionate about and into rugby.
Lovely. Okay.
That's a really hard question, actually. I've never really thought about having much money as a female athlete.
All right. If you were a dessert, what would you be?
Caramel shortbread.
Okay.
Different layers.
Right.
Each one different kind of strand to it.
Right.
But it's really great. And when you put them all together, enjoyable.
Also a school dinner time classic.
Yeah.
Love that.
Very true. Very true. You're a classy dessert. Yeah. All right. Are you a hunter or a gatherer?
What does that mean?
So do you, it's sort of referring back to the primal state, whereas me and Sar, I would go out and kill the food. Sar would probably stay at home and cook it and give me hassle because I didn't bring back the right food.
It's a polite way of saying she's more physical than me.
Yeah.
I'm a gatherer for sure.
Yeah?
I'm a looker afterer. But I'm probably not got that kind of killer instinct.
Okay, interesting. Mm. All right. Guess what Marley Packer was?
Yeah.
Okay, so when was the last time you failed?
That's a hard question. I mean, probably quite frequently. I actually hate organised fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it does obviously get forced upon you in a team environment quite often, so I tend to lose any kind of quiz. Actually, no, yeah, I did very badly in a quiz on the bus at the weekend. That'll be
Can you give us a question from the bus?
The capital of Canada.
Vancouver?
No, Ottawa.
Ottawa.
No, everyone says Toronto, don't they?
I even had a clue. I got told it began with an O, but I said Ontario.
Oh, fair enough. That's not bad.
Maybe I've mixed
that
up.
That's hard. Makes their own quizzes?
That was Emma Hardy.
Oh. Is that her thing? Is that her?
She's a good quiz master, yeah. Okay. Not that I would know because I'm not really into that kind of thing, but that is what I last failed on.
Okay. Well done.
Yeah,
thank you
Rachel
very much.
Malcolm, thank you so much. Good luck in the Six
thank
Nations.
Thank you very much.
Thank
good luck,
you.
Mate.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from Rachel Malcolm and Marley Packer there, Phil. Let's just take Scotland first of all. Loads of chat there about depth in particular that they've never had before, but they do have this terrible fixture list that you do really feel for them that could count against them when it comes to any kind of momentum that they got from all their success last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, like all players, you're going to look at the very first one and it all starts there, and that's against Wales. And as much as obviously I'm a massive Welsh fan, I think that could be a really interesting game. It's away for them. But Rachel Malcolm herself said, actually, we don't mind playing away. That's not a problem. So, yeah, it's difficult, but it's always going to be difficult. Look, France and England are going to be there somewhere. It's an opportunity to learn and grow and develop, rah, rah, rah. But actually, I think that first game starting, you know, could be pretty level, could be a really good match. And if they win that, then they're going into those tougher games with confidence.
And what I really do like about this Scottish side is we're talking a little bit about the depth. The Celtic challenge is going to be an ongoing theme here. But also when I say Elian Clark, Lisa Coburn, Christine Bilal, that's three really good tight heads all for Scotland. And we haven't seen that kind of depth in position for them for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is going to take them to that next level. Mm. I think they are still away from England and France, but how close can they get rather than these 50-pointers that they've been suffering in previous seasons?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's that size and power. You know, you've got a lot of girls now with good amount of experience. They've got good size on them. That is going to help to close that gap. Because I think that's when, you know, Rachel Malcolm's saying, we've competed, we've had moments, but come the 60 mark, we fall away. That's usually down to fitness, and it's not able to keep up that intensity, or it's down to size and players having to work so hard that they can't keep up with the power game. Now they've got that extra bit of size and strength. They'll have that on the bench to come off in those moments. And then they're going to be bolstered with some of their sevens players as well to hopefully get that back line really functioning. So, yeah, it's aligning for them. You know, whether this is the campaign that they're going to get that third spot, which is what most of these teams are going for, I don't know. But it's certainly the best preparation they could have had coming into this tournament.
When it comes to England, I mean, hearing from Marley Packer there, you know, wishing her all the best for that 100th cap, but knowing that there's the injuries there as well, Sarah Byrne, Claudia McDonald, they're not going to miss a beat. You feel like even mentioning those injuries, you know, their depth is just still absolutely ridiculous. John Mitchell coming in as head coach, this is his first full tournament. I know he arrived at WXV, but you really feel this is his chance to make a name. And he keeps on saying he wants England to play quicker.
Yeah.
That's got to be concerning for the other side.
Oh, scary, isn't it? I mean, to be fair, any time, you know, when you hear the players themselves, they'll have a win of 50 points. And in their post-match interview, they'll say, actually, you know what? This needs to be better. This needs to be better. That's the standard that they set for themselves. And that's why they are so good. But yes, if they can have that variation of attack that they've been talking about. So yes, having the nuts and bolts, that power game, that great scrum line out. But if we could see the really true potential of some of those backline players who are some of the most exciting in the world, we're only going to see that if you get that quick ruck, like you see with the Ireland in the men's game. So if they can get ridiculous speed in their ruck game, defences struggle to defend them at the best of times. But when you're backpedaling because you've been just had a ferocious attack of forwards, gaps are going to open up for these backs.
And just on that very point, I think that could be the real defining thing for England in this Six Nations is sorting out their back line. I feel it's been muddled. I feel that they haven't been given enough ball. I think Emily Scarrett coming in, John Mitchell has said he'd like to see her play at 12. Mm-hmm. We've traditionally throughout her whole career seen her at 13. He said he'd like to see Helena Rowland at 13. She's been turning out at Loughborough more recently at fly half.
You've got Meg Jones coming in, Holly Aitchison.
Exactly.
Zoe Harrison back from injury.
Exactly. You've got Emma Singh going well at Gloucester Hartbury, yeah. But then Ellie Kildun, what about her? Quinns haven't been going so well this season. Sorting out that back line, getting it settled, but then also getting them the ball, I think is actually going to be huge. We saw glimpses of it at WXV, but I think that's going to be really important for them. There's also the discussion to have around Maddie Fernati, who has been named. No one expected that name. Yeah. Uncapped, for anyone doesn't know, she qualifies for England, New Zealand and Samoa. She's the daughter of the Samoan and Bath former player, Zach Fernati. And not a lot of people know a lot about her. She doesn't really feature that much. If you read through all the PWR data, she doesn't really feature on it. Apparently, she was ID'd by Sarah Hunter as one to watch. So are they just trying to get her cap so she can't go back to the Black Ferns? That's me being cynical. Mm. Or is she really someone to watch and to grow? Because John Mitchell has said his back row options are aging. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Aside from Sadia Kaber, they're getting on a bit.
Yeah, they are. You know, when all the press release came out about the squad, one of the highlights was this team has over 1,000 caps. That's amazing. And that's the positive spin on actually saying this is an older team, you know, and if they're looking ahead to that home World Cup, which none of them are going to say they are, but they are, you know, you are going to need that little bit extra youth. So, yeah, great to see. And gosh, if, you know, Sarah Hunter, if you're going to back anyone to pick a winning horse, it's going to be her, isn't it? So if she spotted her, she's got to be an exciting talent.
Right then, still to come, we've got a little bit of a surprise for you. If you like gladiators, you might know which direction we're going in that. Stay with us. We also have the Ireland captain and the Wales captain coming up after this.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Five Lives Rugby Union Weekly.
I am pleased to say that we are joined by co-captain of Ireland, Adele McMahon, also known as Tricky.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, Tricky is a 10-year-old nickname at this stage.
It's a good one if you've lasted that long.
And on regular, I have to demonstrate as to why my name is called Tricky.
Yes,
it's the rap. It's
I
Tricky.
I was hoping that was.
Hang on, though. But I'm confused. Wasn't Kira Griffin known as Tricky as well?
Oh. No, Junior.
Junior, that junior, was it. Yeah, junior. Yeah. My nickname's muddled. Right, okay. So can you do the rap?
Yeah, I can do the rap.
Off you go.
No, not. Oh.
I thought it was going to be that easy.
I had to put a cap on it for special occasions because
wow.
it was being sang every week, and I think some people were getting bored of it. Not really. And then some people just loved it. Yeah, so it was my first cap rap.
Oh, nice.
For Galwegians, and the name stuck ever since. It was like, who's that Tricky girl's name? And it wasn't Adele anymore. It was Tricky.
So, nice.
The origin.
Nice. Now, we just want to backtrack because anyone listening to this podcast, if they haven't followed the Ireland narrative since the last Six Nations, you've become co-captain alongside Sam Monaghan. Huge
yep.
congratulations following the retirement of Nicola Friday. You went off to WXV3, absolutely smashed the tournament, came away champions. We find you here now. This is a tough question to ask, but it was a very difficult Six Nations for Ireland. Wooden spoon in 2023. How badly do you want to change that narrative?
Yeah, massively. Like, obviously, I wasn't actually involved in that campaign. I just got injured beforehand, but was quite close with obviously all the girls checking in every week because that was a hard campaign for the girls. Yeah, absolutely. We want to make sure that we're heading into this campaign having put that one aside and proven that we have come a long way since then as a squad, as a staffing group, and that we are ready to go.
And just how important was it, particularly for you and Sam, to bed in WXV3 and ultimately come away with the trophy?
Yeah, that was, I mean, it's my first time winning silverware in an Irish jersey, so regardless of what that silverware is, it was quite important for us as a squad and as a team, and it's nice to have a little success story in a green jersey. I think that campaign was massively important for us, and important for me and Sam as well to figure out how co-captaincy worked. And
who speaks to the ref? Come on.
We take turns, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a kind of a match every second game kind of duty.
Oh, so you don't do it good cop, bad cop?
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Might see if it works for the Six Nations, if refs will allow two of us to speak to them. But, we do designate a captain every second game, and then obviously we help out kind of in the background and stuff.
So you talk a lot about sort of learning, growing this team.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Behman said that they're kind of, he feels that Irish rugby for women is in a bit of its infancy in regards to starting out with professionalism, structure,
yeah.
sort of, you know, starting again. How much involvement do you now get as players in those conversations around maybe how the international games run?
It's been quite good, actually. So since coming in from the last campaign, we've had Sean Ryan has come in for like culture and leadership, but also looking at the structures and that. So we've inputted a lot of feedback from our own point of view, past experience, future experiences in what it is like to play in the PWR in England as well, and how we can grow and shape what the national squad needs to look like in order to be successful. So it's been quite helpful that and it's been brilliant that they've allowed that feedback and that we feel comfortable also to speak about what we think needs to change or what's been working well. So yeah.
And of course Scott is coming in as, I know he's been a while for you now, but this will be his first Six Nations as Ireland coach. What's he like, and how much have you been trying to steal little bits of knowing what the England camp would be up to and all his IQ that he's got from them?
I think he's been brilliant, and particularly again because we're quite a young squad. I think he's a really good grasp of like coaching those girls, but not taking away the element of just playing heads up rugby as well. So instilling some structure, going out with a clear game plan. He's dynamic as well with his own staffing group, so everyone gets an opportunity to lead. So like we're working on defence, Deck will take that week and he'll take a step back. So even how he works as his coaching staff is really, really good. It's not just him. And then that kind of filters down into the team as well. Like people can pick up conversations with him really easily. I think he's very approachable.
You've got some of the Sevens players coming back in,
yeah.
which we weren't quite sure about. It's an Olympic year, but they're coming back in.
Yeah.
How fast is Beavan Parsons?
She's rapid.
Is it?
She's rapid. I think I was watching back training, and she's probably got like 10 metres behind me, and she catches me and goes past me as well. So, yeah, she's that fast.
Yeah. How good is it to have them back in the environment?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant because, like, again, going back to WXV, like, those girls got to be with us for over a month's time where we didn't kill each other, you know. Everyone actually got on really well. So it doesn't feel like they've been away, even when we've come back now into this. So it's been brilliant to have those girls back in with us. It's yeah, and like having come off the back of winning and getting their first ever
cup final,
yeah, it's
win,
absolutely
wasn't it,
class.
Sydney?
Like
Perth, sorry.
So yeah. you're bringing the momentum of knowing how to win and how to succeed, and I think that'll be valuable for us as well.
Is there any concern? I know that Hong Kong, the Sevens, is right in the middle of the Women's Six Nations, that some of them might be going in and out. Do you have concerns about that?
Everything's been fairly like clear, if that makes sense. Communication is fairly open, so we're quite, you know, we know what's going on. I think that's been what the positive this time around is, that we know where the players are going to be and who's in, who's out and stuff like that, yeah.
Before we let you go, World Cup qualification is on the line. Whoever finishes as high as possible away from England and France gets to 2025. You guys missed out on the last World Cup. How big a moment is this for you guys?
Yeah, that is what our goal is going to be for this campaign. So, yeah, just straight out, that's what we want to achieve.
Okay, before we let you go, you are now a professional rugby player, and that means that we need to ask you some professional questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Off you go, Philippa Tuttiat.
I think I am.
All right. What animal best represents you?
I feel like I'm a lioness.
Oh, nice.
Go straight on. In.
Can you give me why?
Hardworking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fend for myself.
Nice. Killer. There we go.
Yeah. Look after the pack.
Oh, I've got to say, I think that's one of the best ones. Right, okay. If you won the lottery, we're talking £10 million. What are you doing with that money?
Oh, I love animals. So I would probably just buy a really nice house in the countryside, get a good car, probably get all the machinery that I need, have loads of cows and horses. I don't know.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, that does. That sounds really nice. Okay. If you were a dessert, what would you be?
A lemon meringue.
Oh, why?
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I love lemon meringue. It cleanses the palate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Are you a hunter or a gatherer?
Hunter.
Yeah. She's a lioness. She's a
hunter. She's a lioness, yeah. I know. Okay. When was the last time you failed?
I was absolutely shocking at that operation game earlier on today.
There you go.
I think I got one. So I was raging with myself, actually.
Right, is that what the pastime is in the Irish camp? Operation. Cool.
I love it, though. Absolutely brilliant.
Old school games. Yeah. Can't beat them.
Adele McMahon, we wish you all the best in the Six Nations. Thank you so much for your
time.
Thank you.
Five Lives Rugby Union Weekly.
All right, I'm very pleased to say, in her shiny red kit and matching scrunchie, may I add, is Captain of Wales, Hannah Jones. How are you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
What can I say? This Six Nations, is this all about finally the time that we see you guys getting within touching distance of England and France? Because it's what everyone wants to see. No pressure, big question.
Yeah, I won it as a player. But, you know, Six Nations is definitely an exciting time. We could take confidence from last year, you know, finishing third. And we know this year, you know, I'm a big believer of, you know, focusing on the process, working hard, and the results will follow.
As much as this is about the Six Nations, there's a World Cup qualification up for grabs. How much is that being discussed, and how important would it be to Wales to get that done before later in the year?
Yeah, as players, we're aware of it, but, you know, Johan hasn't put the pressures on as of yet. But yeah, it's an exciting time, obviously, with WXV again. We want to be in that top three, playing the top flight rugby. But as I said, we'll work hard now and we'll try our best to get in that top three.
And it has to be said, you've been in flying form for Gloucester, and there's a lot of players that are also involved in Gloucester in the Welsh squad. How much of what you do at Gloucester transfers into the Welsh squad, or is it completely different game plan, completely different style?
As a leader, I've brought the girls in from Gloucester to, you know, can we bring this momentum and this mentality of winning each game, even when it gets tight. You know, our Exeter game got pretty tight, we won by one try. Can we bring that winning mentality and grit into Wales now? And a lot of players are up and said, yeah, let's bring it. And I think, yeah, a lot of what we do in Gloucester does transfer into the Welsh environment, which is really exciting.
Obviously, you're talking there about Gloucester, but also there's Bristol, who are one of your greatest rivals. How are you sort of bringing yourselves back together again, having been going so hard in the league?
Yeah, well, we came into camp on Monday. We had all the fun stuff, you know, the photos, headshots, and just bringing everyone back together. We trained yesterday, which is good. But I think once you come in and, you know, in a Welsh environment, you're Welsh, you're passionate. All Welsh players just gel anyway, and once we get put away and we are on opposition, you know, they're not friends when they cross that line in an English club, but as soon as we're put together, it just naturally clicks.
A couple of uncapped players. Anyone we should be looking out for?
So, obviously, Nell's had a bit of a taster in WXV. She's very excited playing. Yeah. She's been doing well at Gloucester, working in the wide channels with myself. Very hard worker, very fast, very skillful player. But also Jenny, that's come from Bristol.
Jenny Hesketh.
Yeah, she's looking exciting and on form in training as well.
Is it a little bit of a feather in the cap when someone like Jenny's been playing England under 20s and she's come over to the red side?
There's got to be an initiation there. Come on, Anne.
I won't lead that, but my social team will. But yeah, she's made the choice now to play in Wales. She's got to be Welsh.
And just lastly from us, how important is it for you to take that next step? I know I mentioned it at the beginning, but I also mean as in the depth and the competition with the players. It really feels like professionalism in Wales now. You've got more contracts, you've got more players coming through, you've had the Celtic Challenge. Do you feel that those shirts are safe, or do you really feel, I've got to keep an eye, look over my shoulder, I'm not guaranteed anyone is 1 to 23 anymore?
No, I generally think this year is the most competitive year that we've had as players. Back three centres, you know, you've got a mixture there, and as players you can normally put two and two together, as you know, Philippa, of, you know, what the combinations are going to be, but at the moment we've actually got no clue, which is very exciting.
Now, what you don't know we are about to do is our very exciting new quiz. Philippa Tuttiot has thought of this all on her own. She has gone to find the most important interview questions by the likes of Google, Microsoft. So we want you to answer your best interview questions to be a professional rugby player. Off you go.
Okay, so let me get into character. Thank you, Hannah, for joining us today. So first interview question is... If you were a dessert, what would you be?
Ice cream.
Done. Okay, quick fire. I love
that. Can I say that's a great answer as well, if anyone knows the backstory. Well done.
It had to be, really, didn't it?
For anyone that doesn't know.
My partner makes ice cream.
There we go.
Which animal best represents you as a person?
Oh, what's those... that pig with the horns? Quite aggressive.
A warthog.
Warthog.
I love that.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, cool. Okay, great. If you found out you won the lottery, what would you do with the money?
I wouldn't tell anyone. Well, at one point, I actually thought about investing in rugby and making us all professional, but I don't need to do that anymore.
There you go.
You'd probably see me drive a nice car and a nice house.
Okay. Are you a hunter or a gatherer?
Oh, there's a mixture there. I think both.
When was the last time you failed?
Holding a microphone.
Yeah. An interview. This interview.
Not at all.
Definitely not the interview. Well done. Quick responses. Thinking on your feet. I'd give her a job as a professional rugby player.
Definitely. Hannah Jones, good luck in the Six Nations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so speaking to Hannah Jones, it was one of the main things I took from that was her talking about that winning mentality and how many players now, quite, you know, core spine of the Welsh squad, come out of Gloucester that are experiencing that winning mentality, the fantastic coaching they're getting, the cohesion, you know, they're such a team. And if they can bring that back, because Wales have, you know, sadly haven't had a string of wins like that. But it is true when they say, you know, winning becomes a habit, losing becomes a habit. But just being around that environment, that little bit of inner confidence that it'll give you going into a campaign. Like Mel Netclough, you know, player of the match, hat trick going into now the Six Nations campaign. Like that kind of attitude, that kind of feeling. I just hope it does spread through the squad.
Eight players from Bristol who are going great guns also in the PWR, quite a significant result for them getting that win over Saracens recently. 12 players from Gloucester Hartbury unbeaten and just haven't missed a beat since they won the title. I am excited to see how Wales go. My concern for Wales is always more around mentality. I think they have the nuts and bolts now. They just need to pull it together, and they also need to give Flaky George that real decent run. You know, now Eleanor Snowsill has retired. I know Sean Ed Harris has retired as well, but I just think in particular that fly half position, that boss, if she can really pick up where she's left off from Gloucester Hartbury and put that into Wales, it's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think it's her time. You know, she has been on the edge for a couple of years now. An incredible natural talent. She was involved in the under-20s, so she's been in and around the camp. But I really think, you know, the Gloucester Hartbury, having that starting jersey has just given her so much self-belief more than anything, but also game understanding and a maturity to her game. Because, you know, she's like, and I hate making comparisons, but like a Finn Russell, she's got a maverick, you know, a box set of tricks. You know, she's renowned for her ridiculous 50-22s. She's very much a reactional player. But we know when it comes to the international level, that's great. But you do also need to go, I'm afraid to say, down the process route, because teams are too good nowadays. I know. Teams are too good. You have to have that structure. And I really do think that this is her time. And again, coming off Gloucester Hartbury with all their fantastic wins, she's coming into this in best possible position.
And the depth in Wales, a lot of people talked about Natalia Jong, Gwen Crabb coming back after they missed WXV. I have to say thank you to you, Philippa Tuttiet, for helping out me with a Wales player, because when Shona Wakeley was named in the Wales squad and it was said she's got 45 caps, I was there going, how can I not know this player who has 45 caps? Mm-hmm. And I parked it and I went, I've got to go and figure this out. And I did flip back through some nuts and I couldn't find it. And I was just like, I'll figure it out. And then thank you to you on the Scrum 5 podcast, you explained she's actually Shona Powell-Hughes, who I know very well and was a fantastic player. Great to have her back.
Yeah, absolutely. So Shona Powell-Hughes, also known as Sheepy, got married and is now Mrs. Wakeley. So yeah, just clear that up. And so brilliant to see her back in the mix. Second row, also can play across the back row. She's got size. She's got size, but she's also got power. She was involved in the Welsh Sevens. You know, she's that kind of agile player as well. So, yeah, to see her back in the mix is fantastic. I was speaking to Ewan Cunningham.
Still a firefighter, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly, about that, because, you know, all of the players now are professional. I'm thinking, well, how is she balancing that? But actually, the fire service are being really good and they are working with the WRU to allow her some time. She won't be, you know, 9 to 5, just a professional rugby player, but we've told that she will be able to manage it. And yeah, I'm excited to see her go. She is a character, but also an incredible rugby player.
And just moving into Ireland, we did have a quiet word also with Scott Beamond away from speaking to Adele McMahon. Something that we didn't talk about with Adele was that we asked him directly about Cleena Maloney, who, of course, still hasn't been selected in the Ireland squad at hooker. It's been a number of years now since she's been included in a squad. She quite famously criticised the IRFU a few years ago and hasn't been included in the squad since. We're getting to a point now where it's quite clear there's another reason she's not being selected, aside from her performances. I would argue that Niamh Jones would be the first choice hooker at the moment for Ireland. She's going great guns in the PWR. But I still don't see why Cleena Maloney would not be included in that Ireland squad, other than it's an issue of what happened rather than her performance. Now, why do I bring this up? We asked Scott Beamond the question, and he said he has spoken to her, which is progress, certainly, because he's a new coach coming in. But on top of that, he said it has to be right for everyone. So I don't know if there's a story that is developing there or not, but I think from the women's rugby community, seeing Cleena Maloney back in an Ireland shirt would be a good thing.
She's one of the ones you want to see on the field because she's different. You know, she is a very mobile forward. She's a very reactional forward. She's an exciting player to watch. And I really do hope that in one way, shape or form, we do see her on the biggest, best stage possible.
Yeah, and we do hope it goes well for Ireland. It is going to be interesting to see how they handle that transition of the players going back and forth to sevens.
Yeah.
I don't
tricky.
Like it. I'm
that's
sorry.
Tricky. No, I know.
And that's just not the name of the captain either.
That took me a while. You can tell it's the end of the day. Jeez.
Yeah, so that's going to be absolutely fascinating. Right then, name the theme tune. Should we go and speak to a gladiator?
Yay!
Philippa and I have taken a little bit of a sidestep here at the Six Nations launch because we've bumped into Jodie Ounsley, aka Fury from the Gladiators. Quite the celebrity these days, Jodie Ounsley. What's it like being here and everyone recognising you?
Well, I won't say that. I'm just me, you know. but no, the response we've had has been like, honestly, incredible. Like, I think it's blown everyone away and myself. It just baffles me, like, to have the reactions from kids, families, rugby fans, non-rugby fans. It's just been a whirlwind, really.
When it comes to rugby, Are you missing it? I mean, how much can you still do with rugby at the moment with the Six Nations coming?
Well, I mean, with rugby, I'm still very much in rugby. I've just been out with a shoulder injury for the last couple of months. So, yeah, I'm pretty much from this week back fully fit. So I'm so excited to get back out there and just throw myself into rugby again. So it's been a long time coming.
There's always banter in rugby, right? If you haven't got a nickname, then there's something wrong. Has the banter levels gone through the roof for you?
Well, at first, I got ripped into, which you would expect. But then kind of as it's gone on and the positive reactions and stuff, obviously my teammates have been amazing, so supportive. But yeah, at the beginning, they always have a dig at me now, or, you know, if I get stopped or something like that, they're like, "Way!" Typical rugby banter. But yeah, it's good though, it's all good.
How have you found the rugby training, getting back into it after the shoulder?
I've just been excited to get back into it, to be honest. Like, I'm a winger, but I can't tell you how much I love the contact. Like, I've missed that so much. I just cannot wait to get a good hit in, you know. But obviously, it's naturally you're a bit nervous when you come back from an injury and stuff. But I've had a good team around me, like support from a teammate, it's good video. So, yeah, I'm just excited to get back out there, to be honest. So.
And are you thinking 15s, 7s, both?
15s. Yeah. I loved 7s. Obviously, I was with them when I was 18 and obviously developed me as a player. But now I'm at Exeter Chiefs and I love it down there, you know, being near the beach. And the girls are great. Susie's great. So, yeah, I've really sort of found a new home there. So just develop as much as I can in the 15s and sort of see where it takes me.
You say where it takes you. We're here at the Six Nations launch. How badly would you like to get into an England shirt?
I mean, that would be pretty special if I got that opportunity. Obviously, I'd take it with both hands. But yeah, I think for me, obviously, come back from injury, just try and play well, get some game time, enjoy playing for Chiefs. And then if an opportunity does come, I'd be so chuffed.
I know this is probably a silly question, but who do you think is going to win the Women's Six Nations?
Well, obviously, I might have to be a bit biased, but I'm going to have to go with England, obviously.
Well, Jodie Ainslie, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the return.
Thank you.
Five Lives Rugby
Union Weekly. Oh, that was so cool to hear from Jodie Ainslie. I have a daughter who wants blue ribbons in her hair. Mm-hmm. So just wonderful things that Gladiators is doing to sell women's rugby to the masses. So, and apparently she's going to be at the Twickenham game.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And talking of the Twickenham game, we didn't actually mention, we were talking about Wales. Don't forget, they're going to be playing at the Principality as the main mm-hmm. event, round 5 against Italy. So that's very exciting. Get your tickets for that as well. Now, haven't mentioned Italy. I felt a little bit for them in the build-up to this tournament. They've only just in the last week confirmed their contracts for players. That's never good for a settled squad. But again, they're going to be one of those teams in the mix and desperate for that World Cup qualification.
Yeah, it was frustrating, wasn't it, that that took so while to be confirmed. They're one of the last nations to go completely professional with their contracts.
And even then, are they fully pro?
Yes,
we don't think so.
Exactly. There's a couple of grey areas. Look, there's some positive things coming out, isn't there? Like that Latin challenge that they've developed, which is basically similar to what we're doing with the Celtic challenge. So they've got franchise playing against teams in Spain. So trying to really grow the depth, which is what they badly need in their squad. Because as much as I love the fact that, you know, you've got the recognisable names, you've got Beatrice Ragone, you've got Soleri, you know, you've got Madeira, you've got all these people we know, but actually you want to know new names each year, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is also a bit of an ageing team. We need to see some youth brought through.
And, of course, France as well. Really interesting. I think if that big Twickenham Grand Slam match last year had gone on for another 5 or 10 minutes, that would have been their match after everyone thought England were home and hosed at half-time. But ultimately, a disappointing WXV for them. They put in all the... Oh. I mean, we hate saying it's French, but it was.
Yeah.
You go all great guns, you beat New Zealand, and then you go and lose your second two
lose
games.
Lose Canada, lose to Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, Canada, well, Canada, we know,
great
semi-final,
team.
Brilliant team. But to Australia, that shouldn't have happened. And yes, they're saying that, you know, they took some new players, and they did, you know, they did bring some new experience, but the core of the team was still there to do a job. So, yeah, they've, you know, when we tried to ask the captain about it, she kind of just said we're looking forward, didn't really talk too much about that experience, but I'm hoping that some lessons have learnt from that.
Yeah, and just lastly on France, we do understand that their competition, which is Elite Féminin, huh? Yeah. I always worry I put the in the wrong place. apparently it's going through another evolution and they're going down to 10 teams next season. And I think it's one of the things actually that if it really just settled in France, and their league is fantastic. It's producing brilliant players. There's no two ways about it. But I think to actually settle that a bit more with the French public as well, that could go to another level and would really help them. So hopefully that will come off it. And we actually had a quick word with the French captain. She said she was a little bit jealous of the PWR broadcast deal.
Yeah, I think everybody is. And yeah, I think that's got to be on the cards for them, hasn't it? Yeah. And one thing we haven't touched about is that the women are going to have their names on the back of their jersey for the first time.
When you had a good spot on the back of the French jersey, didn't you?
So there was just quite a bit of writing in the number, and I thought maybe it was like previous players or something like that. But yeah, when I spoke to the French management, they said basically there are around 2,000 clubs in France playing rugby, and they want to represent every single club. So every number from 1 to 23 has a load of clubs written into their number. So between 1 to 23, there is a total of 2,000 clubs being represented. So it's very much about these women saying that they are playing for France. They are playing for the foundations of France. Apparently each player was very keen to try and find their club according to the jersey number. So yeah, something a little bit different.
So don't forget that there is also going to be the bunker in the six, Women's Six Nations. They're going to have the shot clock. It's all going to be very similar, and it all gets underway on Saturday, the 23rd of March. France against Ireland, 2:15 kickoff on the iPlayer. Then on Saturday, Wales against Scotland, 4:45 BBC Two. You will be there, Philippa?
You know what? I'm going to be there as a fan.
Oh, even better.
I know, pint in hand. Look out.
And then on Saturday, the 24th, Italy against England, 3 o'clock kickoff on BBC Two. And you'll be back on the Rugby Union Weekly next week?
I will indeed.
Can't wait. Thanks so much, Phil.
Bye.
Bye.
On the Football Daily Podcast.
The Women's Football Weekly.
With me, Ellen White.
Ellen White coming forward for England. There is the second.
And me, Ben Haynes, with some of the biggest names in the WSL joining us every week to discuss everything that's happening in the women's game.
Right after the World Cup, got told, we're going to America. I thought, amazing. 10 days in training, did my meniscus, and the next day they flew to America.
Blocked header 6 yards out, Ellen White!
The Women's Football Weekly Podcast.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Subscribe to the Football Daily on BBC Sounds.